It is God's desire that as surely as the dawn breaks forth daily, so will the revelation of His goodness be evident daily in every area of your life. Welcome to Dawn Extras with Tim Grage.
Yeah, I want to talk to us about triggers. I'm really just going to talk. The concept of triggers, we are all familiar with triggers, right? And we all have triggers based on some of the experiences that you had, good or bad. Certain things will trigger you. I have a friend, for example, wonderful man. His mannerisms, he's a pastor, his mannerisms are just phenomenal. He's actually the South African head of our Bible school, so the national head of our Bible school, of which I am one of the coordinators. Now, every time I see him, I inevitably think about my father. He doesn't look like my father, doesn't talk like my father, but every time I see him, I immediately think about my father. I'm immediately reminded, go call your father. And the reason is because my father uses only one perfume. I mean, only one. I'm in my mid-40s now, and I'm telling you, I've not seen my father or smelt my father with any other perfume. It's always the same one. And this friend of mine uses that perfume. And so every time I see him, the memory of my father, who's still alive and well, is triggered. And I'm reminded, you haven't spoken to him, I'm reminded of how wonderful a man is. And so a trigger could be anything. A trigger is something that reminds you of something that stares you, something that prompts you. And it could actually prompt you into something negative. Triggers have been known to actually be negative. I know a friend who had a major traumatic experience. It was extremely traumatic for him. And the consequence was he couldn't control what I'm about to explain. Every now and again, when he will be out there in public, maybe two men are walking towards him and he will find himself subtly triggered and he will just begin to scream uncontrollably, just begin to scream out there in the public uncontrollably. And one day it happened to him right there outside of a particular mall, and he went back home, he cried out to the Lord, and that was the last time it happened. God intervened and God healed him. But because of his traumatic experience, every time he saw two men come in, he felt he was under attack, and uncontrollably something panic will rise from within him and he will begin to respond. Now, that's the thing. So triggers can be uncontrollable. Triggers can be unconscious things that prompt reactions from us. And we all have triggers, positive, negative, or just nominal. You know, they're not positive, negative, they're just there. But scripture actually enjoins us to become deliberate to create triggers. Are you with me? Scripture actually shows us how triggers are a tool. Listen to this. Triggers are actually a tool for your dominion. Triggers are actually a tool that you use to stir your heart to lay hold of the promises, or rather the fulfilled promises of God that have been made available to you. What do I mean? When the Bible tells us in Habakkuk chapter 2, it says, write the vision and make it plain. Now, today the world does that. They talk about vision boards, blah, blah, blah. Child of God, that was gotten over 2,000, maybe more like 4,000 years ago from the Old Testament. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2 verse 4, write the vision, make it plain that the people may run, that he may run that readeth it. What is he talking about? He's saying to us, put a trigger. That concept of a vision board is to put a trigger. The trigger is supposed to do two things for you. It's supposed to stir your reticular activation, meaning cause your brain to think on solutions. It is also supposed to remind you of the goal that you have set before you. It is supposed to also remind you, and in this case, more specifically, it's supposed to remind you of the declarations that you are supposed to make concerning the outcome that you have received of the Lord. You need to become deliberate in putting triggers around you. What do we mean? So Habakkuk talks about triggers. The angel was speaking to Joshua. Joshua taking over from Moses. Maybe I should read that. That very popular portion of the Bible, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 was an invitation again for us to use triggers. Listen to what I'm saying. This is so powerful for us to use triggers. So Joshua was looking to the Lord and saying, give me counsel. I've taken over for Moses. And Moses had big shoes to fill. What am I supposed to do? Blah, 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 blah. And this was God's counsel to Joshua. In Joshua 1 verse 8, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth," meaning speak it, "but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Speak it, think it. It says that thou mayest observe to do. Can you see the three elements of faith here? Think it. Faith must see something, think it. Faith must say something, he told him here, let it not depart from your mouth. And that thou mayest observe to do. Faith must do something. But that's not really where I'm going. Is that last part? He said that thou mayest observe to do. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So God tells Joshua that the way he's going to experience good success, that is success that has no casualties, success that adds no sorrow. He says it will be because he puts the word in his mouth, he puts the word in his mind, and he obeys the word. Basically, he's saying to him, put the word continually before you. In Proverbs, the wise man was telling his son, he said that he should actually bind and tie the word round his neck. The concept of all of this, the concept of everything I'm saying here, is put something in front of you that forces your mind, hear this, that forces your mind to continuously see and be reminded of the word of God that you need to declare. And that's what I mean today by triggers. Kotatsu was talking about how there was an outcome that she saw. She's actually here. I think she's probably on the stream. Kotatsu's probably on the stream. And she was talking about an outcome she was desiring. And so she put triggers everywhere. She put a trigger. What, in her case, what was the trigger? The word of God that she needed to declare. She put a copy of it on her fridge. She put it on the dashboard of her car. She put it here. She put it there. She put it somewhere in her office so that everywhere she walked into, she could see a reminder, a trigger saying, say this word, saying, say that word. She put the trigger there, and that trigger kept on reminding her to declare the outcome that she sought based on the outcome that she had already received in the spirit based on the word of God. And in a short period, she received that outcome. Bongani was sharing a similar story with me. He had applied to a major multinational seven times. I think he said seven or eight times. And he sent me a screenshot of the number of times he had been rejected. And he said he came, Kotaso just replied, sticky notes, Bazawani. And Bongani was saying that he had heard me talk about this issue of triggers and this issue of putting something in front of you that just stares you. And so he said he decided to apply again. Listen to this. He said nothing had changed in his career. Nothing had changed on his CV. He just decided, I still want to work here. I've been rejected eight times. He said seven or eight times. Let me try again. But this time, he decides to use triggers. He puts reminders, just like Kotatsu, sticky notes everywhere, blah, 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 blah. Things to remind him, say the word, say the word, say it again, say it again. Remember what he said to Joshua. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." It says, "Thou shalt meditate," meaning keep it in your mouth, say it, keep it in your mind. It helps to do these two things if you use triggers. Things that force you. See, in this life, we will continuously be reminded of the things that we do not want. See, and that's the thing about pain. When there is pain in the body, let's say a person has a stomach ache. A stomach ache has a unique ability of causing you and I to forget that there is no pain in your elbow, there is no pain in your eye. All you will focus on is that there is pain in your stomach. Unfortunately, that is what we also apply to our pursuits in life. The areas of our lives that are not showing fruitfulness is the area that we zero in. This area of your life is not bearing fruit, so you actually will no longer see that your child is fine, no longer see that you are probably healthy, no longer see that at least work is fine. Whatever is amiss becomes our core focus. And the sad thing in this about that is Whatever you focus, you amplify. You focus on, you amplify. Whatever you focus on, you gravitate towards. Whatever you focus on, you multiply. Meaning, if we become a lot more deliberate on the things we should focus on, guess what? We will become deliberate in multiplying the outcomes that we seek. That's where triggers come in. Where you put, so Bongani put the triggers around him. Made the same application. Sent the same CV. And this time called for an interview. And this time, of course, he got the job. And he's working for the multinational now. And he really was so excited. He sent me the message. Because that's the thing about triggers. When you put a trigger, and depending on the severity of the situation, if the situation is intense, make sure your triggers are ridiculous. See, a friend of mine put a trigger. His was similar to what you would call a vision board. He wanted a particular car. And that's the thing about triggers. The thing about God is, it doesn't matter whether you think the thing is mundane or the thing is extremely urgent, extremely sensitive, and extremely serious. God's desire to help us is not qualified by the seriousness of the matter. You can't say to God, the fact that the thing is urgent does not make God more interested in doing it than if the thing was not urgent. If the thing is just ordinary, he's interested. If the thing is urgent, he's interested. God is not moved emotionally by the intensity of your opposition. Let me say it again. God is not moved. God is so emotionally stable that the intensity of your opposition will not cause him to suddenly begin to react in panic. And this is what we think. We think that, but God, you can see that this matter is, why aren't you? God will not begin going to a frenzy like you and I because of the urgency and the severity of the situation. No, he has already made a way of escape. This is why God does not panic. The Bible says you can never be tempted above what you can handle. But alongside that temptation, God has already made a way of escape. Do you understand the seriousness of that scripture? It means before you got there, God had already managed the timing of it. Oh, you don't want to miss Sunday. God, I already feel God as I talk about this. He has already managed the timing of it. And when you understand the timing of it, you actually will begin to experience unprecedented dominion. That's the thing. When you manage time, you manage your dominion. The Bible says that he has already made a way of escape. That's why when you are panicking, he's not panicking. He has seen the end from the beginning. It is in our best interest to stop panicking so that we also can see the way of escape that he has made. And if he has made the way of escape, this is why I always say, and this is my mantra. Took me years to arrive at my mantra, but I realized this is what actually governs my life. This is my mantra. The fact that there is no justification for the believer to be stranded. The believer can never be stranded. If he will look again, if he will look either with his natural eyes or more so with his spiritual eyes, there is always a way out. There is always a way up. There is always a way through. You can never be stranded. It's just not possible for the believer to be stranded. And it is because of my understanding of that, that I have also gotten a corollary to my own personal mantra, which is the fact that things are just easy for me. My life just repels drama. Things are just easy for me. Do you know if you manage time, you manage drama? When you manage time, you manage even the people that come into your space. Sure, you are going to be blessed on Sunday. But this is the thing. The concept of triggers is to ensure that your mind remains rooted on the outcome. Not the outcome you seek, but the outcome you have already received. The outcome. So if in your case you feel the situation is so intense, they make your trigger so ubiquitous that it is inescapable, so ubiquitous that it is unavoidable. So this friend of mine wanted a particular car, and so he put a picture of the car and its color on his fridge. And at this point in time, this friend of mine was having difficulty with physical mobility. He had to use a walking stick. He had to use crutches to move around. So he limited his movement. So More often than not, it was an open plan house. Every time he was in his lounge and he looked up, he will see the red car. And every time he saw the picture of the red car, he will make his confession. It will trigger a confession. He will repeat his confession. He will repeat his confession. Do you know, within a year, he got the exact car, make, model, and color. And the way he got it was so miraculous that, how will I put this? It could have been any other color. It could have been any other car. Meaning, he didn't necessarily go to the shop to buy the car, right? Even though eventually had to pay for it. But he didn't choose the car. The car chose him because he had triggered an outcome. If you will set triggers, listen to me, I'm about to close this. If you will set triggers in your life that activate a response, you will trigger an outcome. You will inevitably trigger an outcome. If the situation is desperate, make your triggers so obvious, so terribly obvious, so unavoidably obvious that you find yourself repeating your declaration so many times in a day. I remember there was an issue on ground for me that I used a trigger that I did not realize was so commonplace. That's what we mean by ubiquitous. That was so common. It got so ridiculous that I was making the confessions maybe 10 to 12 times a day. I had done this for weeks into months on end, maybe 3-4 months on end. And because I've done it so often, I no longer needed the trigger. My brain had so become trained on making those declarations, on making those confessions, that even without the trigger available anymore, I will just be moving and my brain will remind me, say it again. I had trained my brain to be so addicted to that declaration. And of course, I got exactly, not a variation, exactly what I had declared. When I had experienced a growth in my body, you and I know that not all growths are of God. Some growths are cancerous. When I experienced a growth on my hand, I put a trigger to ensure that I was declaring that growth had died and withered from its roots. I put that trigger before me. And so several times in a day, I will put my hand on the place of the growth and I will declare. Put my hand on the place of the growth. Several times in a day, I will do that. Within the period of, it was probably a week, I don't think it was up to 2 weeks, the growth fell off into my hand. There was a hole where the growth was. It fell off, complete with its taproot, into my hand. Child of God, use triggers. Use triggers. When God wanted Moses to Abraham to think about having a child and meditate on the concept of having a child, he gave him a trigger. He connected children to the stars of the sky, knowing that this man lived in a desert region. Every night, he will see an innumerable company of stars. Innumerable company of stars. And so he knew that if I put this in front of him, every time he looks up in the sky, every time the sun begins to set and the stars begin to emerge from behind the clouds, his mind will immediately begin to think about having children. He will think about children. He will think about children. He will remember the promise. He will remember the promise. And God connected that trigger to another trigger, connected it to his name, made his name Father, put in his name the concept of being a father, so that he would be triggered. Every time he had to, he heard his name, he would be triggered. I'm a father. And so every time anyone came to meet him and said, Abraham, he would look up. But because his name meant father, he would be reminded, hey, this thing about being a father. Every time he introduced himself, my name is Abraham, or he had to, a trigger was initiated. You use triggers to provoke outcomes. Child of God, don't be a slave of the triggers in your life. Become deliberate. Control the triggers in your life. Put your own triggers in your life and begin to determine the outcome of your experience. I could give you stories after stories in scripture and of people that I know. Portia, who is probably on this stream as well. Portia, if you're on this stream, say yes. Talked about a growth. She had a tag. I can't remember, Portia, was that on your face or somewhere on your body? She had a tag on her body, which is a growth. And she began to make declarations. And it was painful. She made those declarations. In her case, her trigger, which is the thing, her trigger was the pain. Her trigger was the pain. I'm already out of time. Turn your pain into power. Instead of allowing your pain cause you to be reminded of what has not happened, cause you to be reminded of what has not changed, what has not been healed, what has not been resolved, use your pain as a trigger. Every time you experience the pain, let it remind you of the declarations that you are supposed to make till you are making those declarations endlessly. So Portia will experience the pain, and instead of going, "You are still there, God, when will you heal me? Why isn't this thing working?" Her pain became a trigger. Whenever she says, if something was to go over the tag, the pain will hit. And when the pain will hit, she will use it as a reminder that it had been crushed from the roots and it will fall off. And then we had the devotional, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, where we did the intense meditation. I remember I took you on an intense meditation. If you didn't go through it, that intense meditation is still online on my page, on my YouTube page. Go there and use that intense meditation. It is profound. There were testimonies, instantaneous testimonies from that one. So she said after that, the next morning, the tag, the growth fell off. The growth fell off. Child of God, use triggers. Don't be a slave to triggers. There are people that trigger you. Let's stop allowing the world determine how we feel or determine how we respond. Let's become deliberate. Put your own triggers. Triggers that remind you of the word you need to declare. Become frequent. Become consistent. Remember Joshua 1:8. Put it in your mouth. Don't let it depart from your mind that you will observe to do. Then he says, if you will do that, if you will allow yourself to be consistent, you will put the trigger so that it triggers you. He says, you will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. You want to get married? Put triggers around you. Put triggers around you. You want to get out of debt? Triggers around you. You want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You actually want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You want to be able to see into the and operate as a seer, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discernment of spirit. You want a gift of spirit to manifest in your life? Put a trigger. A trigger is that which reminds you of what you are to continuously say. The more severe the situation, the more ubiquitous your trigger needs to be. And you will come back to me and you will say, Pastor Tim, this thing works. I am not guessing. I'm not thumb-sucking. I've been doing this thing now for over, 35 years, working with God for over 35 years. And so I can tell you story after story, both mine, those of others, and many in Scripture, that triggers changed their lives. Use a trigger today and trigger the physical manifestation of the outcome that you have already received by the act of God. Amen. Were you blessed? Did this make sense? Remember, I always say, when you come into the house of a teacher, take notes and be ready to take action. This will do you no good if you now don't say, this is my response to this. those of you that are married, use triggers. Stop saying, I know you go for counseling. Counseling is necessary. But use triggers. Triggers that remind you of your need to continuously think about your perfect marriage and declare your perfect marriage. Use triggers to help you on that journey. Come back and tell me what your testimonies are. Amen.